Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Right, Neil Atkinson's joined me. Morning, Neil. You okay?
Good morning, Steve. I'm very well indeed.
Lovely.
How are you?
Lovely to see you. Let's reflect on the 1-1 draw with Newcastle. Similar frustrations or positives? Anything you can sort of take out of the game?
I don't think there are similar frustrations in that. I actually think across the long, Liverpool probably deserved to go in a half-time ahead. And I think that's I think we can acknowledge that Liverpool probably deserve to go in the break ahead in the game, but they don't deserve to win the second half. And I think that's the most concerning thing about the game is Liverpool don't really, not for the first time, but in fact, no, it is different in that in previous games when I've been saying it isn't like the keeper's come off man of the match, it's because I think Liverpool have been quite wasteful in front of goal. In the second half against Newcastle, the keeper doesn't come off man of the match because Liverpool don't create a great deal.
They only had two shots on target, didn't they? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of shots, but they only have two shots on target. I mean, for instance, so the Sturridge one is probably the other one. The Salah one that comes back out doesn't count. Wijnaldum's effort first half, which comes off the post, doesn't count because it's not on target. It literally hits the post. I would say that that's probably a fake stat because Sturridge's would have gone in, Coutinho scores, and Lovren has two cleared off the line, it is worth saying, throughout the course of the game. So they must have had more than two shots on target, but the stat that they're putting about is two shots on target because they don't count it if a player does something, not the keeper. It basically saves the keeper's mate. So Lovren has two cleared off the line, but it's not like in the second half Liverpool are carving Newcastle open and then being wasteful. That isn't what's happening. And I think that's the biggest concern at the minute is that I think Liverpool have managed to, however they've done it, they've managed to play themselves out of form. And that is something which I think the international breaks very much come at the right time. And as I say, if we were talking about a game where we get to 90 minutes and you feel as though the keeper's had another worldie and Liverpool have missed, all Liverpool have missed 15 perfectly serviceable second half chances because they cannot stop opening Newcastle up, then fine. But that isn't what's happened. And, you know, it isn't even like the Spartak game where, you know, Sturridge really should score in the last 2-3 minutes of that game when the ball works itself to him. And he's got so much time. He's in all but in the 6-yard box. And he's got so much time to take a touch and he just laps it over the bar instead. So I think there are reasons for Liverpool to go into the break genuinely concerned.
We saw a goal of beauty from Philip Coutinho. It was a lovely strike.
Yeah.
It was typical Coutinho-esque sort of goal. Roy Evans last night on The Legends was saying the best goals are the scrappy goals, the 6-yard box goals. How many of those goals do Liverpool really score?
Very, very few. I mean, I would say in general, I think there's fewer of those goals, full stop,
across the league.
I don't think you see that many genuinely scrappy goals. I mean, the best goals are goals that win you games. I mean, if Liverpool had got the scrappiest of goal in the 92nd minute against Newcastle, great. They didn't. Newcastle actually came closest, and Dejan Lovren does really well to block the Army effort. People can say it hits his hand on the way past, but it doesn't matter. They had one similar in the first half. You've just put your body in the way there, and if it clashes with something, it clashes.
I think his reference is more about having a sniffer, like older, a goal scorer that's in the right position just within that 6-yard box.
I think that's a lovely idea, but even there again, you know, at the minute we're Lords and Harry Kane. Harry Kane actually doesn't score that many tap-ins. That's one of the reasons why he's
doesn't.
Astonishing.
They're all lovely goals, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why he's astonishing. Lukaku doesn't score that many tap-ins. Lukaku, he scores goals closer to the goal, I'd say, than, for instance, than Kane. But that's because he gets fed through, if you know what I mean. There doesn't seem to be, as I say, league wide, that many people who are scoring those sorts of goals. They don't appear to be happening. There can sometimes be a melee from a 6-yard box. But I'd love for one of the two Liverpool forwards to be picking those sorts of goals up. I mean, Firmino does score one of those at some point during the season. He has scored a 6-yard box tap-in where Liverpool have opened someone up and he's just been there to knock it over the line. But he's missed a couple as well. But Liverpool were opening sides up, and he was at least getting in the position to miss them. But the goal I would love to have scored is the Sturridge or Salah goal, and I think this is probably partially what Roy would be referring to, and it's certainly what I'm referring to. Is listen, first half Liverpool make a mistake defensively, they recover that mistake, Matip tackles the lad, it bobbles off his shin and trickles into the corner. Second half, Newcastle, the defender, and I thought the two centre-halves played really well for Newcastle, but he completely miskicks it and it comes through to Sturridge. And in recent weeks, when Liverpool's defenders have been doing something like that, not even things as bad at times, they've been getting punished. And Liverpool didn't punish. Sturridge should do better, genuinely should do better. And he doesn't help his cause, Sturridge, I don't think, on Sunday. With reference to that miss, I think he plays quite well first half. I think he's had a bit of unnecessary grief for his all-round performance.
I was going to say, you're the first person I've heard who's actually said that about Daniel Sturridge at the weekend.
Yeah, that he played well first half. He did play well first half because he was coming deep, he was linking up, he was getting involved. He wasn't playing on the shoulder, but you get the impression that's not the instruction. Or if it is the instruction, he's thinking, well, you're picking this other fella because he does all of this, so I'm going to do all of this. I thought he does all right first half. Second half, completely anonymous, but he's not the only one, and we'll come on to that in a minute. But he should score, and that's where he doesn't help his cause, because if he's saying I can do all this stuff, well, if I'm Jurgen Klopp, I'm going, well, that's great, you can, but this other fella does it well better. He's really good at it. Where you get to be Sturridge is if when that shot drops to you, that's your one chance, bang it in, and then you can say, there we go, this is why you pick me.
Is he suffering physically or psychologically?
No, I just think
he's at the same level
as what?
As perhaps a couple of seasons ago.
Well, he's not at the same level as he was 13-14. That's patently obvious.
Yeah.
But he's still obviously a terrific footballer. I think that's quite clear that he's
so
a terrific footballer.
You haven't personally got a question mark against Daniel Sturridge?
Well, I have, because he didn't put the ball in the back of the net. And he hasn't for two seasons put the ball in the back of the net often enough. That's the question mark now. The question mark isn't how good is he at football. He's clearly brilliant. You saw it when he came on against Leicester. He was absolutely irresistible. But the question mark is, if you've got these two lads and one of them is not scoring, and the other one is scoring habitually, but his link-up play is some of the best in the world, which is Firmino, and he has the relationship and the ongoing sort of thing of playing in this front four, and then you drop Sturridge in, Sturridge has to score. If he gets the chances, he has to score.
Is he the most natural goal scorer of all of them?
Well, you'd say that, but he hasn't scored enough goals in the last 2 years, Steve. So I can
no,
say
that's, that, right.
So I think he's looked throughout his career as though at the minute, I think Sturridge needs one or two to start going in, and then you might see him sort of find his way to 15 across the course of the season. But the longer it goes, the harder it comes to get to 15 across the course of the season. He needs to score on Sunday. He really does need to score on Sunday. He's had more than enough chances to score against Moscow and to score against Newcastle now. And these are, as I say, these are not chances from a million miles away. These are good, good chances. Mm. So when he's not scoring, as I say, it's very difficult to say, well, the rest of his play's been good, tidy, he comes and gets involved, he helps out the midfield. Well, that's fine, but Roberto Firmino is much better at it and will be much better at it. So when you get your chance, you have to score. And
I thought the one at the end of the game against Moscow was just the massive opportunity.
It was huge.
Him,
it was huge, you know, and he doesn't score. But he still
on most other days he does score that, doesn't he?
But you're saying that, Steve. But he hasn't scored a lot of goals for 2 years. Mm. So you're saying on most other days he does score that. Well,
maybe we're still. Maybe personally, I'm still living with a memory of what he was like a couple of years ago.
But I think the 13-14 Daniel Sturridge is the one where he's got all, and the start of the following season is the one where he's got. He has all of his pace, but also he's just in the groove. Mm. He is just in the groove of scoring goals, and when you fall out of the groove of scoring goals, it becomes very difficult to get back into it.
But you're talking about a two-year time span
of not scoring enough
where
goals.
Things have been problematic for him.
Well, I'm talking about him not scoring enough goals.
Well, that's problematic.
It'd be problematic for any striker. He's actually playing quite well. This is the thing. He's playing well. I think he plays reasonably well, but he's not scoring enough goals. So until he starts scoring enough goals, he's got a problem, because the other lad who plays up front is better at link-up play. So it's that straightforward. So who do you want? Do you want the lad who scores, as I say, maybe not enough, but scores goals and is better at link-up play? Or do you want the lad who should score loads of goals, but isn't scoring any goals and isn't as good at link-up play? Well, I'll have the first one, please, if you give me those options. Thanks, Jurgen. It's quite straightforward, I'd say. And so that's why Daniel Sturridge, he needs to be putting that in. But then, you know, to go back to the initial thing, it's a mistake from a Newcastle defender, and Salah should still bury the rebound. And then we're back into the situation where, well, when he doesn't turn that in, Liverpool don't go 2-1. But there is a problem in that second half, in that I barely saw Coutinho kick it. You know, for all the... He's brilliant. It's a marvellous moment first half. I barely saw Coutinho kick it. Mane looked like he just had a bad game, and maybe you can allow him to just have a bad one, but he could not get in the game at all. And then the last person in amongst all of this, and I'd say the one who's most critical, I thought that, it's interesting to me, I come on and I do these shows with you, and I talk on the Anfield Wrap, and I will basically, in general, say that Jordan Henderson's a really good player. And that upsets people, because they don't want to think that the Liverpool and England captain is a really good player, because they've got some sort of pathetic thing in their soul that they can't move past. And what they'll do is they'll say to me, Emre Can's better. Emre Can should do this. Emre Can should do that.
Yeah, they've got an opinion.
That's fine, yeah, but I think that we have to accept that. I think I've got more time for this if you want to start from the position of, I think Jordan Henderson's a good player, but I'd rather play X. This is, right. And that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
I think when you're trying to say that a lad who's clearly a good player isn't a good player, it drives me mad.
Well, they're all good players because they're in the Premier League.
Exactly.
Aren't they?
This is so start from that position. They're all good players, but I'd rather. But this is my point. People act like there's this dichotomy between Emre Can and Jordan Henderson, and no one ever says, "What's Genie Wijnaldum doing?" What's Genie Wijnaldum doing?
Someone said that on the Legends last night.
What is Genie Wijnaldum doing? Because I think you go through the...
What is his role?
He has that. Well, I think it's hard. I think the role can be difficult, and I think it can look like you're not doing very much. But what does Genie Wijnaldum do second half? I did a post-match show on Sunday after the game, and then I wrote the agenda for the Anfield Wrap the next day straight away. And not on the post-match show, nor on the Anfield Wrap agenda did I mention Genie Wijnaldum. I didn't put his name down. And the reason why is I'd basically forgotten he played. It's that straightforward. I'd forgotten he was on the pitch. I had forgotten he was on the pitch. And because he was absolutely, he was the epitome of anonymous in that second half, especially against Newcastle. At least in the first half, he has the chance to hit the bar and post. So what we've got is we've got loads of lads going, oh, well, I wouldn't play Henderson. I wouldn't play Emre Can. I'd play Henderson. I wouldn't play Henderson. I'd play Emre Can. And God, you pick three midfielders. One of them's Coutinho and there's two spots. Say what you want about Jordan Henderson or Emre Can. You at least know they've played a game of football after they've come off. They're at least involved.
What, do you think and, this is a repetitious thing with
I think he's had two good games this season. And I think that Chan's had more good games than that and Henderson's had more good games than that. But also, as I say, you know they've played. They're involved. They're constantly finding some way to be involved in the match. And it might be that there's all sorts of clever things, tactical things that we can't see that the manager's got Genie Wijnaldum doing. It might be that he's cutting off passing lanes and making it harder for them to play. And he might be really switched on. But there are some games when it's muck and bullets away at Newcastle and it's lashing down where I'd just quite like to see a lad run round and run into people for a bit.
How do you rate Jordan Henderson's season till now?
I think he was...
Average?
He's average because I think he was... solid against Newcastle. I think he plays all right. I think everyone needs to remember he's doing what the manager tells him. If you don't like the fact that he doesn't sit in front of his back four, well, that's not because Jurgen Klopp is saying sit in front of your back four and Jordan Henderson's not listening to him. He's not. He's playing the game that he's been asked to play by the manager. Perhaps at times
which
too
isn't
much,
necessarily his best game.
But perhaps at times too much to Leicester. But I think the two games before he's Liverpool's best player. So he was man of the match against Moscow, man of the match against Leicester. So I think, you know, solid against Newcastle, those three. Before then, I think he was really toiling. And I think he'd had a couple of very, very questionable performances. But as I say, I think that there's question marks against a lot of Liverpool players at the minute. But I'd rather feel as though people are playing matches. I'd rather see people involved. And I think if you play Henderson and Chan in midfield, and maybe just get the pair of them to sit a little bit more off the basis that you've got this front four, that you've got the, whether you play Sturridge or not, you've got a front four who can take a side apart. And, you know, I think that if you ask the two of them to sit, Henderson and Chan, and maybe even, listen, I'd be knocking on the manager's door if I was James Milner at the moment and going,
And asking to play where?
I'd be asking to play centre mid. I would rather James Milner was asking to play either full back position.
Jordan Henderson's position?
No, centre mid. So where basically play where Chan or Henderson or Wijnaldum are. There's three of them, Steve. You know, why aren't you talking about Genie Wijnaldum? It's because you've forgotten about him. He's already dropped off of your head. Why isn't James Milner asking to play Genie Wijnaldum?
You went over Genie Wijnaldum.
I really haven't gone over it enough. You know, why isn't James Milner saying, I can do what Genie Wijnaldum does? And you might actually see that.
Emre Can's saying that.
They can both say it. They can both be saying it.
I wonder whether he is vocal, James Milner.
I wonder if he has been vocal and he said, I don't want to play fullback, Gaffer.
And paid the price for it.
And the manager said sound.
Yeah.
And now we're all sitting there and the manager might be waiting for some sort of point where James Milner knocks on his door and says, I want to play. And Jurgen Klopp says, well, there's right back and left back, son. You pick. But
Genie Wijnaldum isn't that bad a footballer either.
Genie Wijnaldum's a good player.
He had some really good games last season.
Last season he did, but he's had one good game this season, yeah. I'd say. Maybe two. Maybe we include Hoffenheim. But I think he's been really... I think that there's a problem, and it's been a problem away from home since he's turned up, with the exception of massive moments like away at West Brom last season. But there's been a problem in general that... There's the goal thing away from home, but I think in general, away from home... You do not get the feeling he is sufficiently involved in matches a lot of the time. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.